The meeting of the Joint Committee on Special Responsibility will come to order. And because of a conflict of understanding, we're going to do the conflict of interest bill as a joint committee. Granton, do you want to walk us through this thing as it is? You got a copy?
Yeah. For the House members, the Senate members last week and in their lunch meetings the week prior did a number of things. The major thing about the bill is that, as it's put together now, it would include the original 25.9 conflict of interest thrust. It would also pick up 25.30 on a lobbying if that bill also passes. It would pick up Senate Bill 806.
Well, excuse me, what do you mean by picking up?
Well, if that passes, the duties of
assigned to a fair practice
would be assigned to this commission.
Yes.
Right. And the commission would also take care of the present contributions and expenditures report to the Secretary of State. So you create one commission which would have four major areas of interest. It would be a 9-member commission, and it would receive and distribute the report on economic interest and the other reports on state officials, at least as far as the conflict of interest is concerned. That would be the judiciary down through the DA, state legislators, heads of divisions, and as yet undetermined number of gubernatorial appointees. This is still has not been resolved with the Senate members. So that would be the thrust of the bill. Letter from Clay Myers to actually Jack Thompson to Dwayne Wolf from Ways to talk about how much it would cost to do what the bill sets out to do. Maybe on top there someplace. Okay. Section 1, the preamble.
Excuse me just a minute. Relative to the cost of this thing, that's the cost of the commission. Cost of the commission. And that's, none of this is now being covered by any other cost?
That is correct.
No,
this would be all, well, yes and no. I talked to Jack Thompson, he said, this would be the new cost for all of these, but you get some paid off on the T&E you're doing now. But not included is the rent. So the rent, that figure would go up. So you probably end up with a problem of saying, you probably have a trade-off between the rent is not included and the cost of the present T&E report.
Mr. Chairman, we have a referral.
Well, it will have to, but I guess that's where we'll send it, when we send it to the House floor.
Chairman, from a fair practice, when this was a suggestion I think last week, a week or two ago, and one of the problems we're going to have with the lobbying bill, and we're going to have with the exposure of conflict of interest bill, we're going to have, and Senator Meeker has a fair campaign practice bill, and the Lynn bill, and the C&E, is if we don't have some agency in charge of the minister, and we have them scattered now all the way from legislative council to special commission to the Secretary of State. And the suggestion of putting them all together in fair practice, I think is extraordinary. And I realize the cost is quite high, but when you look at the salary they recommended, the budget talks about a legal counsel, a special investigator. That's a pretty good commission staff right there to do the things we're talking about.
We can go over that after we do the bill. Yeah, let's just start in at the first and go right through it.
Okay, section 1.
No, excuse me. The Senate has worked on this, and Jack, I feel that this is your responsibility a lot more than mine.
Okay. We're not complete on this. This was to get it in workable shape. These are things that we talked about. We're a long way from being all in accord on everything, but we needed to get it changed so that it had the direction of leaving out the city and county people who can maybe pass their own provisions to do this, because we would get so big we couldn't handle it, and especially add all these other duties.
One of the problems of splitting into subcommittees is that you have to replow the same ground for the House people that you've already argued out.
That's so. All right. We have replowed this enough to take out so much of it that when we start all over again, it's still soft, and everybody will be breaking up the clog now in smaller pieces because we're not at all happy with everything, and we didn't finish everything. We just covered as much as we could in as quick a time as we could to try to get those ideas that everybody thought was important that ought to be here. Now the refining is the process that I'm sure we'll not be able to finish tonight,
okay,
but we'll get started on it.
Everybody interrupt at will.
Yeah. This is a, there's nothing, I don't use the word sacred, but there is nothing yet that's
Stone.
Pride of authorship, maybe that would be a better way, that anybody is not willing to change, or there's nothing here that we're not willing to bargain on from one point against another point.
Okay, I didn't mean to imply that this was a finished package, but as you said, what it is a finished bill with all the parts put together. Section 1, the Legislative Assembly declares that public office is a public trust, and the public disclosure of private interest is the best safeguard of the public trust.
I don't like to bitch about the first paragraph, but there is the original thinking, mostly, plus the fact that
you realize how much trouble we get that one paragraph in.
I have no objection to removing it as one, Senator, and if I just take Section 1 out, I've said a number of times, I'm not really going to be able to
be chairman. Mr. Hurd.
You see why it's clear.
But you cut it down from a paragraph to one sentence.
Can three of you make up your mind?
Okay, go ahead.
Section 2. As used in this act, unless the context requires otherwise. 1. Agency means every officer, board, commission, department, institution, branch, or agency of state government. 2. Business means any corporation, partnership, proprietorship, firm, enterprise, franchise, association, organization, self-employed individual, and any legal entity. I might say agency was put in the motion of Senator Carson, but 2, 3, majority of the rest come from the original bill. 3, business with which he is associated means any business of which the person or a member of his household is a director, officer, owner, or employee.
We've tried to get away from the amount to decide what is a stockholder. To somebody, $1,000 might make you a major stockholder. To someone else, $50,000 might say, well, I don't even own any interest in it, you know, not enough to even count. So we're trying to keep away from that.
A stockholder corporation which has an own stock in another corporation may be an owner of that second corporation.
We'll let you legal figure that one out.
Mr. Chairman, George raised a good point. I think the way we handle this will show that it's not a critical area, so I'd like to just put it in abeyance so we come to it. Keeping that in mind, that he has raised the question of stock ownership, which speaks directly to mutual funds and a variety of other mutual funds. I think we've handled it. If we haven't, in the operating section, then we'll have to redo it.
Candidate for public office is any person who has filed a declaration of candidacy or a petition to appear on the ballot for election as a public official, and any person who has accepted nomination for appointment to serve as a public official.
Anytime, just butt right in, as you are wont to do.
Well, if you take subsection 3, in the definition, business with which you are associated, you take that definition and you apply it over to section 6, then I cannot turn in the legislature. Either that or I have to raise the board.
You're supposed to have that in mind.
Husband and the attorney for a school district. district or
right,
or a teacher, certain legislation. The intent is to keep us from selling paint.
Or a doctor that operated in a public board.
Yeah, well, the intent is not to be to exempt from the purview of, well, maybe say the other way, we don't want them selling goods to the state. So, but so that does affect if your friend, if your husband sold insurance. Then he couldn't sell insurance.
Which member of the common cause has been working on this, though? Is it you, Bill? Or? Well, come on up. You might as well get into some of these discussions. Are you satisfied?
May I ask a question? Well, what is household
included? Money.
Well, I assume that it would be tenants and others living in the home. So it would not be children. I don't know the answer.
On the question of someone with that time conflict of signature, we have two things that we did. One was that as in the definition of conflict of interest, the D and C under 6 would speak to that. The question of someone that affects the same class and, you know, all members of that class equally. It's only when one particular person stands above the crowd, the bill or the action of the legislation is directed particularly at his pocketbook, that affects him personally or helps him equally.
I suppose the question
probably could be further defined if we wanted to add to conflict number 6, which says it does not mean, if we want to set that up for another elected official or in the regular line of business or something like that. I think we could set up an exemption there, couldn't we, by adding one for that. So I think what they're after is to keep the husband from being on the highway commission and the wife owning the sand and gravel. And that's what they're trying to avoid. But when you come, this has become, once again, this big problem. How do you define it down when the husband's the district attorney and you're the legislator? Or the school board attorney, or whatever you want to do. And it gets always to be a little bit nitty gritty here, you know.
Might have school mark come back.
Yeah, let's do that and then come back to that point. See if we can't get a. Or would you like to go on?
Okay.
Excuse me, I just go ahead.
Commission means a Fair Practice Commission of the Secretary of State's office. 6. Conflict of interest means the conflict of substantial private pecuniary interest of a public official with an official obligation or duty of the public official.
Does substantial have a legal meaning, Wally? Or?
Well, we talked about it. And, the difficulty comes. In one area of the older bill had direct or indirect pecuniary or substantial is a judgmental word. It's not a finite word, but it's a clear decision on the part of the subcommittee to require that it be more than an incidental or de minimis interest that we all have as taxpayers.
You leave it to the court.
Yeah, we do. Okay. In fact, no. To the commission in the first instance, and then all of us.
Question?
Yes.
Is there any degree of conflict or any any conflict whatsoever, no matter how I do.
I'm sorry.
So I wonder what you mean by conflict. Substantial conflict, any conflict.
Well, we've defined for the purpose of the bill, rather than leaving conflict of interest as being insignificant or whatever, we've tried to define it as talking about a substantial private pecuniary. What we're trying to clarify is the one who is making private or substantial financial gain as a result of a conflict of duty, of his own interest with duty to serve in the state.
Well, then why the comma?
Well,
because that was the way it was in the bill in which we picked it out of.
Yeah, we took it out of the
No, we took it out of Don Wilner's bill.
Oh,
he came back, he was talking with us about his bill, which he didn't do earlier, and in fact it had a comma there to be removed.
Well, it's a substantial interest in a private pecuniary.
Well, then I don't think that. It's two things or one?
Two.
Well, then I think it should be an or instead of a comma.
Or maybe an and. It's a comma. It's a comma.
All right, let's put and in there then for the time being.
A. However, conflict of interest is not A. An interest or membership in a particular business, industry, occupation, or other class required by law as a prerequisite to the holding by the person of the office or position. Aimed at all the boards and commissions to which you have to be a member of that class or occupation to sit on that board.
Or the optometry.
Right.
Or the bar, or being a lawyer, be on the bar.
B. However, conflict of interest does not mean B, the proposition or execution of a regulation, measure, decision, or other action which would affect all like businesses or members of the industry, occupation, or class in the same degree and would thereby affect the public official in his private capacity. The intent being that it's not a conflict of interest if you are a anything, whatever your business is, and you write legislation. If it doesn't affect you unusually, then it's not a conflict. C. The proposition or execution of a regulation, measure, decision, or other action which would affect to the same degree a class consisting of all inhabitants of the state, or a smaller class consisting of industries, occupations, or other groups, including one of which, or in which the person, or a member of his household, or business with which he is associated, is a member, or is engaged.
Now that might take care of you,
I believe.
Where you would say your husband is an attorney for school boards, would you say? That this would include all attorneys for school boards.
Just keep in mind there are several aspects. One, series or prohibition. Two, direct
thing about it, Norm, if the open meetings bill passes, you'll know where he is more times.
I don't understand B and C at all. Both of those were picked up, in fact, all three, A, B, and C, were pretty much reworked from Don Wilner's bill, which he came with last week. The idea being that if indeed you were to be an administrator of a state agency and you were regulating an industry that you had interest in, if the regulations that you were promulgating or enforcing were to affect all of those industries, each member of that industry the same, there would not be a conflict of interest. In other words, almost anything that the state might regulate.
But take the Board of Forestry, which is made up of foresters.
Right. If they were to decide on any rate or regulations or yields or cuts or whatever that affects everybody the same, there's not a conflict of interest.
You're on the Barber Board.
Really, because the public official executes a regulation which is a pecuniary benefit to the entire industry, he's off the hook.
That's correct.
Now he's a member of that industry which is benefited.
That's correct.
That's what it means.
I think that's what the Senator Warner came in and brought with him, the bill that's been dragging around the legislature for a long time. It's a very short conflict of interest bill. I commend it to your reading. He did touch very strongly on trying to get over, in my view, workable exclusion of those things that are obvious conflicts in our legislature, obvious conflicts in this man, high participation of citizens on our board, and so on. The attempt here is on A, B, and C is to pull out the obvious conflicts on a common sitting on the board of cosmetic examiners, or the case might be, pulling those things out and failing to have common sense.
What about Tom voting on a meat inspection bill?
That would be an example of that. It affects all.
It affects all retail meters the same. Mm-hmm.
However, if there was a situation where a senator or a representative were in a situation where there was a particular bill which would influence a particular company, where he owned
all meat packers in Washington County, you have to go to the environment.
Something that would really narrow down to him particularly or her particularly, as that. That would directly affect his business, which is associated, and none other, only partial part of the industry, then that is a substantial private pecuniary interest.
What about an attorney whose business primarily is in a labor field or unemployment compensation or this sort of thing? It does not affect all attorneys equally.
But it affects a certain or a smaller class. You see, it says, or a smaller class consisting of industries, occupations, or other groups, including one of which or in which the person is engaged. So that it affects all labor attorneys. You can say, okay, this regulation affected not only me as a labor attorney, but every other labor attorney practicing.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how far you can
carry. Back to the general area. I'm right. Not sure I agree with that.
All depends on where you're talking, which board whether he's on a board or in the legislature too, aren't you?
You're a
chauvinist. On the, we'll say the.
You're a male chauvinistic pig. I was thinking of the lady.
Okay, all right, let's think of the lady then. If she was on the industrial accident board, would she still be practicing?
Yeah, I think that would be very. First of all, I don't know that I would want to call plaintiff's attorneys working for the class contemplated by this bill. I think we're at the history of grant training. I don't know if that's the kind of class we want to get into.
If they were in the legislature, then you would be talking about affecting all lawyers of that type, and it would be a different proposition. Are you satisfied?
No, I'm not completely sure.
All right, let's put a mark on this one then. This is D?
Maybe we ought to bring back Don Miller.
Yeah. C.
I think we already covered
that,
huh?
Yeah. What was your question on that, John?
C? Same problem. I just don't understand all that. Possibility.
I think I know what the intent is.
Okay. 7. Legislative employee. Is any person employed by the Legislative Assembly or by any of its committees, and any person employed by the legislature from funds provided by the state?
It is not a conflict of interest for a legislative employee to work
for. We're in a different
Oh, we're in a different one now. We're out of those. We're
so
saying
are.
That they are.
Substantial change on that, Mr. Chairman. We include all employees, so it fits with our floor for the
I'm not sure what you're trying to get at.
We'll come up to it.
When you come to the wife.
Once we have the definition, that includes the two separate.
Oh, okay. Aspects. Oh, I'm sorry.
Closure.
Yeah, we're still on definition.
Hey, a person means an individual, corporation, association, firm, partnership, committee, club, or other organization or group of persons. 9. Public official means United States senators and representatives, the governor, secretary of state treasurer, attorney general, superintendent of public instruction, labor commissioner, members of the legislative assembly, members of the state supreme court, the court of appeals and tax court, members of the circuit and district court, the district attorney of each county, the members of state boards and committees appointed by the governor, departmental heads appointed by the governor, employees of state regulatory agencies, and legislative employees.
Can I ask
a
question? Why are we including employees?
State employees, political employees, regulatory. Because we have a closure statement coming up, and we have to file a closure statement with the Fair Practices Commission. The testimony was that people, particularly key staff, the public has an interest in knowing what their interests might be equally as they do legislative, because of that work done. And I see some sense of that. I wouldn't argue too much on whether a page less than file is closed to paper. The minute you go on income, we have some that are making less than decisions. I think they're not working full time.
So, or do you have income feeling somewhere on this?
No, not now.
No, we didn't.
It wasn't 600, and I suspect that's why it was originally put in on the floor. Wiped out everybody in the legislature, $160. Didn't have to report. Just voted. My figure wasn't for sure. Because I think it's the direction of having legislators disclose, like you said, I did have.
So, I mean, all 30,000 paid employees?
No.
Oop, now you're throwing a button. No, this is the. Only those that are working for the legislature and those in certain employees of state regulatory agencies.
Agriculture, commerce. Well, this is the one thing that we have a little conflict over that we haven't really decided yet, is that we perhaps at this point should list the agencies that we think ought to be in here, because to have the cosmetology board or all of these hundreds of them, and there are several hundred of them, might make the task so burdensome that we wouldn't get anywhere.
When we get down to that point, I've got a list of the legislative council put up in writing, as bill, I think it's 842 on executive appointments, hundreds and hundreds, and it's actually a wish list, which would probably be better to go down to.
Stick around, Henny, it may get better. Okay, but there are so many hundreds. I think that we'll probably have to come up with a list and say which ones are here so that we can eliminate a lot of junk that doesn't need to be there.
The ones we're primarily looking at are certain lines, the CUC, the oil, the CUC, and some of those that are really in the light.
Well, the Agriculture Department is very much in the middle of all this consumer.
Well, we would include them there.
Yeah. They're one of the ones we're talking about. But we're getting at the barber's board and all of these, which can get to be so numerous and really aren't going to do anything but cause a lot of problems in the sense of trying to make a decision whether they use which kind of hair tonic they use. You know. Let's go.
State regulatory agency means any state agency that has authority to regulate any business, occupation, or profession carried on in this state, but does not include commodity commission. That should probably be eliminated by listing the agencies you want to do under 9. Section 3. No public official shall use his official position or office to obtain financial gain for himself other than his official salary and reimbursement of expenses, or for any member of his household, or for any business with which he or a member of his household is associated.
Excuse me. That mean you can't hire your son as a page?
We've got him in the back, and I'm not sure what the section is, 2021 or something. You have the clause section that says you can hire one, but only one member of your family as a legislative staff member. That's correct. That came out of the original bill. Or for any other person as defined in subsection 8 of section 2 of this act. Person meaning the association meeting.
Or there
are
two members of your family
in the legislature.
You each get one. That's correct. That's section 3, 4, 5, 6, I believe, come from the original bill. There were different numbers, but they come from the original age. Section 4. No legislative employee shall accept assignment to or be employed by a legislative committee, the jurisdiction of which consists of matters in which he or a member of his household, or a business with which he or a member of his household is associated, which has a conflict of interest. That should be which rather than with. Section 5. Unless expressly provided otherwise by law, no one other than an elected public official shall serve as a public official having responsibility for regulation of any business with which he is associated. Section 6. No public official and no business with which a public official is associated shall enter into any contract other than a contract of employment for personal services with any state agency which is to be paid in whole or part out of public funds, unless the contract has been awarded through a process of public notice and competitive bidding.
Can you explain 5
What it does, it says that unless the law says you have to be an optometrist on the optometry board or a barber or a cosmetologist, you can't sit on that board and regulate the business you're associated with. So that it exempts legislators. An elected public official can sit and vote on legislation that affects his business. But a person who is appointed, unless the law says he has to be a member of that profession, he can't sit and regulate that that business.
No one shall go.
Let's go on through it and then come back and let's make a note.
Section 7, 1. On or before January 1, 1974, every public official shall file a commission a statement of his economic interest.
Well, I hope that's explained something further.
Well, we're not talking about a financial statement. We're just saying that you declare anything that you own stock in or anything you have property in. Okay, is that a form on by which the commission supplies him?
Right, yeah.
Should that be in there?
Yeah, it comes in under Section 8.
We're not asking for financial statements.
2. Within 15 days after the filing date of the statewide primary election, each candidate for any elected public office shall file a commission a statement of his economic interest. 3.
Should that be an and?
Within 10 days after the date of an appointment takes effect, all gubernatorial appointees, all legislative employees, and all employees of the state regulatory agencies shall file statements of economic interest. 4. No compensation shall be paid to any person required to file a statement of economic interest who fails to do so, nor is he authorized to perform any of the duties of his office. The name of any candidate for public office who fails to file a statement of economic interest shall not be placed on the ballot. Section 8. Any statement of economic interest filed under this act shall be on a form prescribed by the commission, and the person filing the statement shall supply the following information. A. The identity by name of all offices, directorships, and fiduciary relationships held by him or a member of his household. B. The legal description of all real estate in which he or a member of his household has or has had during the preceding year any interest, direct or indirect, including an option to buy.
On A, does that mean that if you're on the board of directors for the senior citizens of Scappoose,
Yes, would. It would include whether, even if it had no economic cost, you weren't paid for it.
Yeah. I think the chairman of my own university is an example of no payment whatsoever, but essentially the closure.
But you do have an interest in private colleges, is what you're telling me.
Yes.
Okay.
C. The source by name of any income, whether or not taxable, received by him or a member of his household during the preceding year.
Two questions about that. If you really want to cover everything, the word income broad enough to cover everything. The guy received money, but he said wasn't taxed. Second question, do you really mean it? If I had 800 clients and got money from all the others, would you want to list all the others? That's what it seems to say.
It also says if you hold municipal bonds from Bear Creek Hospital or whatever.
I believe if you're correct, what seems to me that it would be construed that it would be your law firm, but you're probably correct in saying that if someone could read that easily the other way. It has to be repaired.
It would be basically Smith, but I see your point.
Can we put it in there some way?
Yeah, I think say income from your business or something like that.
I don't think that. What if one of your clients presents to you a conflict of interest, though, Ed?
Well, the way one of the early gentlemen talked about when you got more than 5 years of income.
That might be a good way.
Yeah,
but if you represent E-Web, and we're talking about public and private power.
Yes, that would be it's hard to tell whether the way I did it, like the only thing I do is go through my books and my
If you sell gas, you own your own station, technically under present, you have to list everyone your gas sales for the previous year by name.
Let's come back to that one. I think that's kind of a good point. Earl, John?
D, the name of each creditor to whom he or a member of his household owes or has owed during the preceding year, money in excess of $2,000, and the interest rate.
Now, this, assuming the kids are left home and you don't know who they owe, then you're out of it.
That's right. That's right.
With all 800
credits?
If you've got them over $2,000,
he's all right. E, the name of each business with which he or a member of his household has been associated, as defined in subsection 3 of section 2 of this Act, during the preceding year. If any such business with which he or a member of his household is associated does business with or is regulated by any agency, he shall specify the nature of such business or regulation.
I'm a little concerned about the use of this word household, because you may have kids or three or four living at home, but you've got a brother who's vitally interested in highway contracts, and he doesn't live in the same house.
That's a client.
Department probably, the Attorney General came to us with a member of household. His definition read, member of his household means the spouse of a person and his parents-in-law, and children to any of whom he or his spouse has 20% or more of living expenses, and every other person living in his household or living in the household of another member of his household who qualifies as his dependent for income tax purposes, or some variation of the
trouble with getting to a brother, and how far down the line do you go? Could be your cousin.
Well, the godfather had a pretty big family. I don't know whether it's relevant or not.
Well, I don't know that point. Where do you cut it off?
If you list brother and brother you haven't seen for 10 years, plumbing business, yours is kind of difficult to write down, but you haven't seen him list all the...
That's right. But he may live across the street and he may be selling sand and gravel. Well, that's another one we'll come back to.
You might have a hard time finding out everything he's got. He might tell you to go to place.
Well, no, I think each family's a different situation. Some families may work on that basis.
If the person filing is an attorney, a list of all matters in which any public official or agency is a party, in which he or a member of a law firm with which he is associated, represented a client for a fee, stating the name of each such client.
Did we leave that one in about lawyers?
Yeah.
Huh? Did we?
Yeah.
That's the record. We substituted that for the one listing each of the names of each of the client over $2,000.
Two thirds
is right. Did
this include criminal defense?
Yeah. Favorite. John Doe.
Okay.
Of course.
What about a divorce action? Okay.
You might be willing to take out criminal. Civil.
Representing the school board.
No provision of this Act is intended to prevent any person from filing more information or more detailed information than required. That comes from the original bill.
There is something like this in the original bill.
Section 9. Within 1 year after the initial filing of the statement of economic interest, each person required to file such a statement shall file a supplemental statement showing changes in the statement initially filed, if any. Thereafter, at such times as the Commission by rule may require, additional supplemental statements shall be filed. Failure to file such statements as required shall be subject to the sanctions specified in subsection 4 of section 7 of this Act, which is the no compensation and not allowed to exercise the powers of the office.
No compensation, but I think it's not
judge, not very big of a conversation with judge and the chancellor and the federal law, my plan, so the Constitution. I don't know the legislature. I'm concerned about whether the legislature or the passing law can constitute and control all of the conversations.
Does our Constitution have the same as the federal Constitution about judges, about lowering their wages while in terms of office?
It does.
It does.
Yeah. We've got to, there have been other factors that attack that problem, the judge didn't have any work requirements off, and it was given to the individual. But the
Constitution. I suppose the judicial fitness group could relieve a judge of his position because of that?
Not over there.
Okay, Grant, what's the back then?
Section 10. Where a conflict of interest develops, a public official shall do one of the following. One, if he is a member of the legislative assembly, he shall announce publicly prior to any vote on the issue the nature of the conflict of interest, and shall then either refrain from voting on the issue, or if the rules of the body to which he belongs authorize or require other action, he shall abide by the rules.
Well, that's in direct conflict with the Constitution, isn't it?
Well, they give them a choice, either or. Either refrain from voting, or if the rules of the body require other action, shall abide by the rules. It could be done much better by saying, and shall abide by the rules of the House of which he is a member. Strike out that middle part, so that you declare that you have a conflict of interest, and then you'll leave the individual member up to the rules of his house.
Yeah, I don't think we can not vote.
You can't make him vote, not vote.
You can, but you're not. You
didn't have a second sentence. I don't think he meant to. That's.
What? Originally, it was going to be the part of vote. And that's because of some committee concerns we put it in, but I think it was the part of
the vote. Two.
If you.
What was that again?
You mean when he's on a.
The session then there would be no vote on the issue. We'll have a public announcement.
I'm not quite sure what you mean.
Well, to discover a conflict as the session is ended, you know, right? Announce publicly a conflict.
What decision? Even though there's no vote, what decisions are you making after the session's over?
Well, it doesn't say anything about whether there has to be a decision.
Oh, it says, prior to any vote on the issue, line 2 of subsection 1, section 10.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Yeah. If the session is ended, there would be no vote on the issue.
That's right. Then there would be no conflict.
Unless
there was a
session.
Or
you still have to announce publicly that a conflict has developed.
No, I don't believe so. If you were a member of an interim committee or if you were in a special session and you had to vote, had a conflict.
No.
Or if after the.
I think maybe if you have a conflict with the bill that surfaces and the other, say, surfaces for you in the Senate, it never gets out of committee. I don't think it's required for you to stand up on the floor or anything else to carry out a conflict with the bill that's being considered in the Senate. Maybe that would mean.
Well, I would be concerned because it says where a conflict within this developed, you shall do one of the following.
Prior to that. you going on this. That's what I thought of.
Do you do that before roll call, or after roll call, or during roll call?
Well, before you vote.
We've all paid Lee. Paisley says, I have a conflict of interest.
He'd like to be excused from voting.
But he can't.
Well, he asked for unanimous consent. It's happened a couple times.
Well, but it's still, that's illegal. That's unconstitutional. He's got to vote. All he has to say under this is that I have a conflict of interest. I defended the guy in court who murdered
John Paul Jones.
John Paul Jones. And then he goes ahead and votes no. Is that what this says? That reading clerk of the House is really going to have a fit when he goes down to the things as fast as he does. Everybody's, oh, Bill.
Well, I don't know about the House, but in the Senate, there have been many, many cases where he's been excused from voting, but it takes unanimous consent.
And,
what if we allowed him to vote present?
If you were carrying the bill and you knew he was an aye, you might want him in the worst way, and you would not want him to get out of voting.
That's up to him.
Sure, I don't think this bill is a position we're in already.
Yeah.
Whatever problems there are, the problems in our constitution we're running away from for 14 years, I don't think it's so bad.
There really are a number of people who feel that this is the way to handle it. It calls attention to the conflict and gives the guy an ethical way of avoiding.
I'm thinking a little bit about the confusion during the roll call.
Yeah.
Would it be practical to let him declare after the vote when they're explaining their vote?
Well, I suppose that's true. The times I've seen it done, the guy stands up
Mr. President, point of personal privilege.
Okay. What would happen if the vote came out 15-14 and you protested about the man, you knew he was going to vote aye, and the bill went down? Do you think that you, as a sponsor of that bill, would have a right afterwards to go to court saying that because he didn't vote? I protested against his vote, yet he didn't vote.
That's why I say, as a practical matter, there's no way of enforcing the Constitution and the whole
House. Well, I've taken out that clause, and shall either refrain from voting on the issue. I've taken that clause out of mine. I don't think you can refrain from voting on the issue.
Also, we have committee votes, and it's not uncommon that we do miss a vote in committee. And not necessarily
uncommon. Okay, that's another one we'll worry about.
What Senator Garland said is a good deal of meaning that it might have put out in getting it.
For any other public official subject to this act, he shall notify his supervisor of the nature of the conflict and request that another person be directed to handle the matter that generated the conflict. If he has no supervisor, the public official shall assign writing to the commission for a ruling on his course of conduct. Section 11.
No, it didn't.
No, okay, if he is a judge, the district attorney shall announce publicly the nature of the conflict of interest and remove himself from the case. Section 11.
Is it necessary? If the judge chooses to remove himself from the case, why is it necessary for him to state the nature of the conflict?
Good point.
not?
My reaction was, like Jack, it seemed to be normally do it, apparently we had a conversation.
Yeah, but the nature of the conflict, you either don't think the nature is, or that you have a conflict, yeah?
Well, it seems to me, you know, closure of this kind would be important to know the nature.
Well, we've asked this nature of conflict to everybody else. Why not the judge too? We ask this of the politician, of the public official. Why not the judge? 217, Norma. 110. Well, for one reason, we don't want him to cop out. The easiest way to cop out on a tax bill or something else is just get up and say, I have a conflict of interest. You say, why? And I say, well, I'm not going to tell you. I just got a conflict. I just don't want to vote on this issue.
Well, I think we settled that problem as far as legislators.
Well, we've asked him to state his conflict, but wouldn't you say the same thing about the judge? Maybe he's got a tough one. He really doesn't want to say it.
Well, let's not beat it to death. We'll come back and vote on it.
Section 11. The Fair Practices Commission is established in the Office of the Secretary of State, consisting of 9 members appointed in the following manner. A. 2 each by the majority and minority parties in each house of the Legislative Assembly. B. 1 by the governor. 2. No public official is eligible to serve on the commission. No more than 5 members shall be members of the same political party. This was added by legislative council because by staggering the terms of office, and when you take that factor into consideration with a change in majority and minority parties in both houses, you'd end up with 8 Republican or 8 Democratic members of the commission, which would not be bipartisan at all.
Well, first you said that legislators, you appoint 4 legislators, and then you say no public official.
No, shall be appointed by. Shall be appointed by. Appointed the following members, 2 each by the majority and minority party.
Oh, those are not legislators.
No. They appoint people,
okay.
Non-public officials.
Okay.
The term of office is 4 years.
You've only got 5 people.
No, you've got...
4 for the legislative leaders.
4.
1 for the governor.
5.
Now, you've got 2 each by the majority, and 2 each of the minority.
You've got 2 houses.
You've got 2 houses. You've got 4 in each house and 1 by the governor.
Okay.
Vacancy shall be filled by the appointing authority for the unexpired term. 4. The commission shall elect a chairman and vice chairman for such terms and with such duties as the commission may require. 5. A quorum consists of 5 members. 6. Members shall be entitled to compensation and expenses as provided in ORS 292.495.
Right,
that's in one of the last sections of the bill. It's determined by law. Section 12, 1. The commission shall appoint an executive director who shall serve the pleasure of the commission. He shall receive a salary fixed by law, or if not fixed, then fixed by the commission. 2. The executive director shall perform administrative duties fixed by the commission, but he shall not have regulatory power. Section 13. The commission shall, 1. Prescribe forms for statements required to be filed by this act, and to furnish such forms to persons required to file such statements.
Now, wait a minute. Does that mean they write to him or he sends them out?
I presume it's furnished on request.
And have available many.
Have available.
And to make available such mm-hmm. forms. Two, prepare and publish a manual setting forth recommended uniform methods of reporting for use by persons required to file statements required by the Act. Three, accept and file any information voluntarily supplied that exceeds the requirements of this Act. Four, develop a filing, coding, and cross-indexing system consonant with the purposes of this Act. Five, make the reports and statements filed with it available for public inspection and copying during regular office hours, and make copying facilities available at a charge not to exceed actual cost. Six, prepare and publish such reports as may seem appropriate. Seven, make investigations with respect to statements filed under provisions of this Act, and with respect to alleged failure to file any statement required under the provisions of this Act, and upon complaint by any individual with respect to alleged violations of any part of this Act. Eight, report suspected violations of the law to the appropriate authorities. Nine, issue upon request and publish advisory opinions on the requirements of this Act based on a real or hypothetical set of circumstances. Ten.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What if we don't hire an attorney?
Statements for a period of 10 years from the date of receipt.
Nice. Why is that? Why 10 instead of 7? 5.
10 years came from the original bill. We'll just continue.
That's an awful lot of time. Okay, we'll worry about that. Pardon? John?
11. Subject to ORS Chapter 183, adopt and publish rules to carry out provisions of this Act. Section 14. Any person who intentionally violates any provision of this Act is guilty of a Class A misdemeanor. Originally, that section listed a number of other sections that if you violated, you were guilty of a Class A misdemeanor. As it came back, it just said any provision could enumerate the section.
But does that get involved with that judges we had earlier who didn't file the second time around?
Right.
Same as the other one.
The provision is actually the rule promulgated by the commission.
I like that better.
Yeah.
Harvey, we're already confused. We don't need any more.
Section 15. The penalties and sanctions imposed by this Act are in addition to and not in lieu of any other penalty or sanction prescribed or authorized by law for the punishment of misfeasance or malfeasance in office, including removal from office.
Well, there we go back to judges again.
What it says is that
doesn't, just because you're convicted of this, it still would be able to.
Well, but you can't remove the Secretary of State from his office or the Supreme Court judge from his office.
Well, under the rule,
you can recall.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it's saying, is that it doesn't affect the recall.
Oh, is that what it says?
That's what it says.
Oh, I'll be damned.
Because it are in addition to and not in lieu of any other penalty or sanction.
Okay.
Section 15. Oh, 16. Notwithstanding the terms of office specified in subsection 3 of section 11 of this act.
That says term.
Hmm?
It says term, not terms.
Oh, notwithstanding the term of office specified in subsection 3 of section 11 of this act. The members first appointed to the commission shall serve for terms of 4 years or less to be determined by law. One, one shall serve for a term ending June 30, 1974. Two shall serve for terms ending June 30, 1975. Three, two shall serve for terms ending June 30, 1976. And four, two shall serve for terms ending June 30, 1977. Section 17. If any provision of this act or the application thereof to any person or circumstances is held invalid, the validity of the remainder of such act and the application of that provision to other persons and circumstances shall not be affected thereby. Section 18. Hmm. You're absolutely correct. Okay. I have to get in there somewhere.
You're adding up the numbers in parentheses, Grant.
That would be 10. Section 18. Nope. No provision of this act is intended to prohibit any member of the Legislative Assembly from appointing one, but no more than one, member of the Legislative Household to a staff position for the Legislative Assembly. Section 19. ORS 260.005 is amended to read. What this does is simply say that the contributions and expenditures report shall be filed with, down in subsection 3, paragraph A, with the Fair Practices Commission and the Office of the Secretary of State.
Mr. Chairman, I think this is part of our program to present tonight, but I worry about the germaneness of the amendment.
In other words, they had a rider on at the end in the same manner as which the others have been done.
Well, what I'm thinking about is if we agree we want to go this direction of lobbying, conflict interest, speaking, this bill, and fair practices, I think we ought to attack each one of them. I worry about the last section has kind of got a little fussy toward the end about germane of amendments made by committee. If they're not germane, they're not appropriate amendments. The only issue I raise is although this is an integral part of our program, the bill is originally introduced. I think referring to the conflict of interest and not the
PNE. Oh, so we need another bill for that.
Yeah, we've got a whole block of elections.
Oh, I have one sent over to you. I do. Okay.
Initially, but the question is always appropriate on the floor of the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
We want to introduce that way. I think that's when
Okay, let's go on with it.
Very, very subtle change. We amended the contract.
Okay, 20.
Pursuant to the advice of the legislative fiscal officer, the commission shall adopt a schedule of fees applicable to all receipts required or authorized by law to be filed with the commission. All fees received by the commission shall be deposited with the state treasury to the credit of the general fund.
Mr. Chairman, I ask, that really sums the part off me. Pursuant to the advice of the legislative fiscal officer, to make a set of schedule of fees. Is there no way we can find out
from an approximation
fair
fee
schedule
would
be
not to exceed
bill passed rather than delegated first to the fiscal office and then
all
the way back to the
commission?
I don't like that at all. What
are
we talking about anyway?
Well, the idea was to reduce the cost of the commission.
We can show where you can support this commission.
Yeah, that's why
we might
still
get it through ways.
I don't think it's
going to
be a lot like
the
voter sample. Yeah. I don't think we're ever going to get it on a phase to a way.
Section 21. Any hearing conducted by the commission that has as its purpose inquiry into the conduct of any public official shall be conducted as a hearing in a contested case as provided in ORS Chapter 183.
What's that?
The ADA. Section 22. This is where we get to the riders with Senator Carson just rather deal with otherwise.
Okay.
The intent of Sections 22 and 23 was to tie in the Fair Practices Commission and the lobbying bill, but
move those
and get them elsewhere. So you would strike Sections 22 and Section 23.
Section 14?
That part. That comes under Section 23. Part of that one being
to attempt to fit the whole thing together. Well, let the person go through and set up the procedure, then we cover the rest of them on the end. The person goes through and the same thing looks like it might be to make the bill. If 25-3 goes through first, then we're going to have to come back and put in Section 24,
this act being necessary for immediate preservation of public peace, health, and safety. Emergency is declared exist, and this act takes effect July 1, 1973. The idea of the emergency clause was that we set up a commission and give it time between July 1 and January 1 to set up its rules, procedures, and et cetera, so for the first filing, rather than having the first filing and the commission all on the same day.
Okay, any comments by members of committee on the general import of the bill? Or
Section 7 on page 4, talks about January 1, 1974. Doesn't our term run the first Tuesday or second Tuesday or something in January?
75.
Well, that's it.
What I'm trying to find out is everybody on the committee more or less satisfied with the thrust of the bill? Have we been harsh enough? Have we not been harsh enough?
There's no definition of economic entity. There is no definition of complex entity. The word is expanded. That leaves considerable area of judgment.
I think we all have that underlined. I'd rather not take it up paragraph by paragraph. I was just trying to get the feeling of the committee relative to the bill.
And it's in that area that I think the bill would be stronger
in the environment. I'm not sure if it
really
approach
the problem
of financial problems. Is Common Cause satisfied with the import of the bill? You're not?
No.
Okay, where? What is your problem?
Well, we have two basic areas. One, that area of financial disclosure somehow working into a number of category of interest. So the public would have a handle on whether you have a $3 interest or a $3,000 interest. And the other, of course.
You're talking too about section six?
Right, that same area.
Section two or subsection
one, financial statement.
You're asking for some sort of a financial statement.
Right. Whether it be by category or some sort of appropriate meaning in which you have at least an idea of their areas and their values. Not necessarily a complete to the penny statement, but something to give you an idea of how much they have invested in it. The other was going back to our original build in hopes that we could get something that would cover the areas of city and county government, which we feel are very important. There are most examples of conflicts of interest were found in those areas. And we now, the direction of this bill has excluded that area and has made no mention of exactly what would be done in that area in the future. Under this bill.
Not unless it was made an integral part of the bill. Nothing could be done about it in this bill. I'm not sure what the consensus of the Senate committee is, and I certainly don't know the consensus of the House committee on it.
You realize the problems that the state of Washington is having with this bill. It's setting on for us to be declared unconstitutional. And what was it, 3,500 officials threatening to resign all at one class? We certainly don't want to get in that kind of a position, but we don't want to get so many people up in the air that the next time around there's a whole new crop of us up here because they're very hostile, and these are the public opinion makers. They decide the election, whether you are aware of it or not, but the local city people, it's a rare time if they don't decide whether a school bond goes through or who's going to be the next candidate up here, next person up here. There are those exceptions, you know, when you get something, a real hot issue. But just given the normal course of events, the opinion makers in any community decide who will or will who will not be here just by their subtle endorsement or their unendorsement, unless there's a real hot issue. I certainly feel that I don't want to make these people so hostile that they get up in arms. We get a whole new group throwing out the whole works. I think that we ought to be, my own personal opinion now, and I don't know whether I'm speaking for the group or not, but I think that we ought to go this far this time. If it works, if we can get the paraphernalia so that it will roll, then you can always extend it. But if you try to buy the whole thing at one crack, you can lose the whole thing at one crack, like they are in Washington. Might have a, that thing goes out, they might have a very hard time trying to get anything out of it.
I more or less agree with your second reason, not your first one. Earl? You want to include that? Sam? There's no financial thing in here.
But I'm offering that. I think that giving a financial statement and a biographical statement, which indicates those things that you're interested in that may not have a direct economic value, are important. Things you might lobby for without an economic interest. All kinds of things that people want that's not directly related to money. Any
looking at, I like the buffer in there. I certainly would make a half a step this time.
Vote on the inclusion of the below state.
Yeah, we don't have that.
My understanding from the co-chairman is that the Senate already voted not to go below the state level. Since this is a House bill, I think the House should also vote on the same measure one way or the other.
For myself, I would like to say the county should not be included in, but I don't know whether it's going to be a
My sentiment is to get them included, but probably not this time around. I think that's going to be much more complex than this. And in the remaining, how many weeks we got to go? Where's House leadership?
Four.
I don't know whether we get it or not.
15th or
17th. Yeah, if we would. Okay. Any further discussion on whether to try to go below this? Do you have a bill ready for... Is it your first bill that you submitted?
The original bill did, right?
Yeah, I know the original bill did. Okay.
Perhaps some sort of form, an abbreviated form, knowing the sensitivity of many of the local officials to, of course, disclosure of categories that's included in the present bill here, but I've heard many people suggest that most people in a smaller community know basically where that person, what his economic involvements are. But I would think that because of that, he would not be embarrassed or felt like he's disclosing something new if he lived his interests. And maybe at the city level, we don't have to get into economic disclosures of value or even categories of value, but some sort of, you've got interest in such and such, which you would file with the county clerk or the city attorney and make it available at that level as opposed to handling through the state ethics or state fair practices.
Okay, I'm going to ask for a vote of the House members. On this matter, with the suggestion that if this committee has time to work on further amendments to the bill prior to adjournment, that we undertake that with the permission of the Senate Chairman and the House Speaker. Clerk, go call the roll. If you vote no, you're saying we're not going to try to include the counties and cities in this bill unless we have further time at the end of the session with the approval of the Speaker and the President of the Senate. You vote yes, you're trying to get it into this bill. You would like to get it into this. You're trying to get it into this bill. And see what we can do towards making this a viable document that we can send to the floor of the House. My first note is on section 2, subsection 3. Molly, I think you had a problem with that. On page 1, section 1, subsection 3.
Vagueness in that, probably correct. The other one is the one that George brought up on the word owner.
exclude shares of stock in a corporation, and I just arbitrarily said the aggregate, interest does not exceed 10%.
Yeah, I think that should be.
That would cover the mutual funds,
yeah.
Yeah. You own 25% interest in your specific account.
In our election bills, Ed, haven't we defined
which one is that?
Family or something in our election bills relative to contributions and so forth? I frankly don't like household, I don't think it's strong enough. And in some ways, it may be too strong. But I bring up again, the guy's brother lives across the street who owns a cement works. Why did the Senate group throw out immediate family or whatever, or did you?
No, we didn't.
But do you think it's strong enough? Or do you think it really covers what you're trying to get to?
No, I think it can be extended to the definition of immediate family or something to include the case
okay.
Of your brother across the street.
Okay, let's do that, Grant.
Definition of household that would include,
no.
Or definition of family?
Yeah, let's take out household and substitute, therefore, members of his immediate family is whatever.
What's that?
Which page are you on again?
Still, sub 3.
Very difficult, Chairman. And I have no objection when the director says the legislature is in accordance with what family means, what family means, immediate family increases the intensity of a family means, but that doesn't mean the family as someone who always definitely.
No, I know. You have a better suggestion.
How about family house?
Well, I think what we're then doing is taking two vague phrases or words and adding together certain specificity and wind up with even not having the same.
What is the separate definition of household? Instead of trying to amend it in part of another definition in 3, be to add it as a new
definition.
How are you actually going to cover it?
Did you guys hear George's question? Try to get some help from legislative counsel on it.
We do have one that the AG came up with. He enumerated, and he came with an alternative measure, and he simply enumerated the persons that are included.
Okay, what did he say?
A member of his household means the spouse of a person, parents-in-law, and children to any of whom he or his spouse or both contribute 20% or more of living expenses, and every other person living in his household living in the household of another member of his household who qualifies as his dependent for income tax purposes. So that if you have some other relative that lives in your son's house and you deduct them, and have them deducted because you pay their expenses, then they're also part of your household.
certainly helps me to a degree.
Great, I know. It seems to be that this would be to avoid the vagueness would be to enumerate the members of household and demeanor.
Yes.
Representative Hollis, how did you get to page 6 when everybody else is on page 1?
Well, I've got a leak again, and that's something that's bothering me. You need to get it around.
Okay. Do you remember the complaint, George?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We'll mark that too, then.
Before we get away from counsel, it's important that we identify the members as of a certain date. In other words, some of this goes back a year prior, and shouldn't it be the end of the household?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And since they file a subsequent report in 1 year.
Right.
Well, that's three things on that one paragraph.
Okay, do you want me to take it to the legislative council and ask them to give us something that enumerates or better defines household?
Maybe we should give them some guidance. I don't know. How,
yeah.
How far do you want to go on this concept? Parents in law, students?
Only if they're, they're in fact,
you know,
the household living in
the
home,
you
provide
1%
of the
home.
I
think I'm more concerned about relatives than I am members of the household. But what control do you have over your relatives? I don't have any. I don't even speak to my brother. I don't
you
have
had a brother-in-law that was an attorney for the...
you make it just a piece of the family, sir.
I'll put that down as an idea.
It would be the beneficial, I think, to call it that, a beneficial.
The definition called related tax but it doesn't really go to family.
Except the related
taxpayer definition,
which everyone stands up about, it also includes prisoners. But you'll have to look at the federal reference, so the definition extends.
Well,
you know, requires it to be some better building, but I don't think it's going to be an awful lot better than that.
We've
got one more thing. I'm president of a foundation. Now you're going to get those.
Later on, in a different place to fill, you're going to say you're president of that foundation. But if the answer is such as it is, there's a provision for listing directorships and so forth.
But it holds stock interest.
But what then?
It holds stock in maybe 25 different issues.
Well, we're going to take care of that with a 10% ownership or something like that. No?
Well, I don't own any of it. It's a public corporation. But I'm asking.
Well, then.
In that case, you'll say you manage that public corporation and be up to the, somebody else to try to figure out whether that had anything to do with it.
When you file your statement, you just put that down among all your directorships.
Somebody else has to figure out whether that had anything to do with how you go down timber tax to use the amount.
Or ambulance service. Or
pollution control device tax credit.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, right. I don't know.
Would apply to a lot of people. not just in the legal field.
Of course, that's what they're after, is where you might have a conflict.
Well, but she doesn't even know. I know that, but they...
The only way that I would have of knowing it, legally or ethically.
But then that would only be whether you knew it. Most people wouldn't believe that you didn't know what your husband was doing.
Or vice versa.
Or vice versa.
But how am I going to comply with the law?
You'd have to ask.
Well, I'm trying to tell you, though,
I understand what you're talking about. I understand what you're talking about. But that's the whole purpose of this, is to find out where people do have, I mean, that's the purpose of this act, is to find out where you might have some conflict of interest, whether it be from your family or from you, your wife.
I think anybody married to an attorney who's in the legislature or any of these other things would have the same problem.
Oh, there are lots of other professions, too. Married, for instance.
Yeah.
Right. Common cause have an answer to that.
If I have, if I'm a member of that firm, or are you want to know the income that I get, that I live off of, and I can understand that and I agree with that, but there isn't any way that I can comply with A of Section 8 in all areas. It's just simply impossible.
Do you guys have any answer to that?
Well, under Section 8, you wouldn't have to report if, say, if your husband or your wife, your spouse is an attorney, you're going to have to report the fact that he is affiliated with such and such a legal firm. You don't have to, under this, you don't have to report all clients.
But you say that this year relates to help by him or a member of the council.
The general public going to believe that she doesn't know what her husband, who their clients are?
I'm finding
this,
well, not clients, but if
how did that go about? Is that something like that?
Part of the darn, part of the time.
I think Noma's got some good points on that, and I wish you would have your attorneys concern themselves in this area and present her concerns.
Well, one way out of it is trying to ask them to the duty of charge, of course, is to remove the fiduciary relationship, strike it. But the criminal law section 165 or 75 is one place the fiduciary is identified. Seems to pick up not the fiduciary counsel lawyer might hold or an escrow agent or somebody else, all of which would hold funds on somebody else's fiduciary relationship. We might ask them, are you talking about trustees, executors, administrators, or in other words, I'd operate on the idea we're going to take that out, because I think it's a kind of fatal thing in there. But maybe we can put back in some specific language, some particular area that we're figuring back out.
But you could get the same thing from Lee Johnson. I don't tell my wife what stocks we have, or vice versa.
Well, I understand that.
And that happens probably more regularly.
Yeah, that very well may be, Chairman. But considering the lawyer, as I read, yes, the lawyer can't lose to other responsibility to keep our mouth shut and not talk.
What was it, Willie?
I'll tell you. So that's a general problem. And I don't think it's unique to lawyers. Lawyers' examples are bad examples. Anyway, but I'm not unmindful of what you're saying. So I think we remove the alternative, of course, to take out the household. It's not only about the candidate.
Yeah.
But that opens itself to the obvious loophole. You just shift everything over in your life.
Trust account then really one of your financial relationships?
Well,
it's not yours.
I don't know what a financial relationship is. I suppose that's when I owe money to somebody that deals with me.
I owe part of the business, or I accept money from Sally.
I think the way to do it is to take it out.
Are you talking about sub 3 now?
No, I'm talking about the
5 on page 5, 8A.
1A, second line. I'm not making that motion because you already asked Lance. take a look at it and see if they can find specific language, but really find specific language that would be included in the
okay. You've got a note on that as a plan?
Yes.
Okay, and you have too? Okay. What we've decided, three things we're going to do with three. Now we get down to the guts
before
of the bill.
You do that,
okay.
Just get back to that. Some way you have to imply then economic relationship or economic holding held by his household, because that's what you'd have to keep it from transferring anything to his wife.
Well, we picked that up, I think, because we require the household report on the economic interest. So even if
you
transferred everything to his wife under
page 5. Then you don't need this at all,
then
you're right.
Okay.
All right, go ahead now.
Okay, on Section 2, page 2. There's been a considerable amount of discussion relative to is this strong enough or is it not strong enough, and actually what does substantial mean, and there has been some suggestions that we put figures in there. What's the will of the committee? Does significant have a meaning in law?
What is substantial? And it would mean what? Require less than that to say significant law is substantial. Mr. Chairman, it's going to be relative to something else. What's substantial or significant to one person might, or the one group might not say. I'm thinking back to your thinking about the warehouse, that might be a lot to somebody, it might not be anything. Yeah.
Well,
that
would be
the
relative to something else.
Yeah.
So again, you thought that. So. I think you'll have that problem with anything you do, just set it out or not.
Well, Webster says, number one, having meaning. Two, suggesting or containing a disguised or special meaning. Three, important, weighty. Substantial, consisting of or relating to substance, real truth. Important, essential.
Both of them said important, yeah. But significant doesn't require to be essential.
I think significant may be an improvement. We also changed that to, well, let's find out what the House members. Are you chatting? You want to vote on whether or not you want a monetary figure or something like that in here, or a list of accounts?
I could possibly put a figure in. I don't know. Oh,
did the Senate vote on this?
Yes.
No. We haven't, we're just going through it just like you were. We were trying to get the, this is our first time around change. Okay, you, you three over there. Does any... Mr. Chairman, if I might suggest that I think that
they're having a caucus.
Now, if you want to talk to me,
well, okay, I want to talk to you. I would suggest that the, that rather than go through another Senate Bill 15, that we get consensus on both sides.
Okay, good idea.
We're not going to have time.
Good idea.
This is a joint committee, and that's the purpose of it, is to get a bill out once and come back.
Good idea. To an agreement? Rather than significant?
Yeah.
Whoop.
What's the Senate?
Let's not worry about how the Senate. Let's find out what you think. I think we're arguing semantics, it doesn't make any difference really, but what I am concerned about is there any consensus in the on the committee relative to putting any sort of monetary figure in here, or percentages, or anything like this? Is Common Cause more or less satisfied with this paragraph from that point of view? Okay. All right, let's do it this way, though. All those in favor of significant, hold up your hand. Substantial, hold. Substantial, whoops, I voted twice. Substantial wins.
Substantial it is.
As is. And now that reads substantial and by the pecuniary interest, the way we changed it. Now, does everybody agree to that? All right, now are there any other problems with that paragraph? Anybody else have any problem any place with that paragraph? Okay, now we're down to B then.
This is the one you didn't understand, George.
Are you satisfied now?
No.
You might explain to me.
That's what it means. Come on, Ed, are you with us?
I'm here.
Huh?
I'm here. I just, again, I don't know the next
one. I think I got
these for you. I think as long as it affects everybody in the industry the same, then you're all right. Yeah. Everybody gets a rip-off. Like the Watergate 500. Everybody gets a shot. Okay, C, Jerry. That means if we all get the same beating on the tax measure, or all of us get equal women's rights. Is this what this means? Is this what this means?
Mm-hmm. If you give attorneys
fees
on something, all attorneys in the same
jam. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it means. It's just like B, only it relates to a
segment of society rather than to a industry or occupation.
For that matter, you could probably take B and C and boil it down to one paragraph, which would say exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Would say that you could start with all inhabitants of the state or a smaller class, such as in ministries, occupation, or other groups, or class in the same degree. They work it so that the B and C would be D.
I think
or
that would.
Or make any mention of household.
Well, you
or
yeah, pick that up.
Pick that up.
Yeah, put that into the one B. Say B and C and put it in B, so that it would be private official, a member of household, business which is engaged, associated with, and then make it the proposal of a regulation or execution of a measure or a decision or other action which would affect.
I think if you tried to combine them into one paragraph, you'd probably get something more confusing than you've got now. Because you're talking about households and businesses in one area, and or at least households in one area, not in the other. Yeah. I don't. Now, do you understand what it's talking about, George? Are you blissfully happy? Are you happy at all? But you're content. Okay. You'll let it go. Ask legislative council if they can improve the language. Section 5. I didn't have anything but tricks, so.
What we're
going to
talk about and what
state
regulatory agency
would
mean.
What paragraph is that?
That's the subsection.
Oh,
yeah. In subsection 9, the legislative council says they made a mistake in putting United States senators and representatives in at that point because you can't, in fact, make them subject to all the provisions of the Act. They should go back and say that all public officials and United States senators and representatives shall file. That's the only thing you can do as a requirement for their putting their name on the ballot. After that, you can't affect their power to hold their office or affect their compensation or et cetera and so forth. You really can't fit in the definition of public official layers. It's up there and added later.
What about judges, George? Can we do it with judges anyway?
Well, I think we do any of it.
Well, that's what I like, as laws that we can't enforce. I think that's pretty good.
The Constitution
well,
says you can't
make a decision. That's what we that's a conflict of interest setting on the trial for themselves. Maybe we have to pass it so the legislature sets on trial for the judge, or it is the prosecutor, judge, and jury. We could require them to do these things prior to their election, can't we? But maybe you can't do anything about them subsequently.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you
but
can't
if
file.
If you don't do it, how are you going to keep them off the ballot?
That's what it says. You don't file it. Just like if you don't file a C&E report, you don't take office. That's what it says right now. You're not given a certificate of election until such time as you file. So you'd have the same thing here. If you don't file this, you don't get any certificate of office, you couldn't take off. Yeah, let's fix that up about the federal offices.
Right there,
we'll
be talking about it prior to election.
Yeah, and I don't think you're getting after. Although I wouldn't want to be an elected.
We have said that.
Violated that.
We have placed it so it must be filed with your C&E report. So until they file it, there's no certificate of election.
Let's fix that up the way legislative council says it should. And I think we do have some teeth there prior to their election. And maybe the press can help us out subsequent to their election.
Okay, so that in fact you would say for the constitutionally
defined officers. You want it beforehand, but then you'd exempt them out afterwards. In other words,
no, let's leave them in, but I don't sure that our penalties are any good. That's what I'm saying.
So we just want to stay in as is.
Yeah, but you want to change the United States Senators up there.
All right. Now, also in sub 9, you've got the members of state boards and commissions appointed by the governor, and then employees of state regulatory agencies as part of public officials. This was left in for no other reason than to make a sentence complete and utterly blank in there. There's been a lot of question about what is a state regulatory agency and
important.
Or heads of major agencies, or?
Well, we picked up all the departmental heads and the state board commission, so we picked up, for instance, one area here that would be the hearing officers for one of the towns. We talked about this one time. I raised the question whether that would be what we want to get into. If one member in the last day might have specifically got out of the area, because some of these areas, one of the major workman's comp under the one that's self-employed or self-insured employer, direct insured employer, whatever it is a major lumber company, and the fellow left that lumber company is now making decisions. When he finds for the workman, that finding is directly against the lumber company. I think it's important in that instance to have the disclosures on public hearing law.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's good. Put public hearing officers in there, but should we not have a period after governor?
Well, it's not required legislative employees or.
Well, legislative employees, as you say, goes down to pages.
Yeah, we put that.
There might be a place for monetary.
Well, here's the problem, Chairman. One time I tried with having two separate bills, one dealing with disclosure, one dealing with admonitions and penalties. Disclosure went down one lane, and the penalties went down another. I think the state should not use his official position to gain financial benefit for itself. If that could be done, I don't know if it could, but I think it clearly could be done by a consultant to a tax committee, by administrative assistant to the local government committee, or somebody else. I don't know whether we want to disclose, but I certainly think the admonitions to use the official position to obtain financial gain for themselves other than salary is an important ingredient in the bill. And I think that, to me, went all the way down the page. I want pages or dark pieces.
Probably wouldn't hurt.
So, but see, I'm caught in a dilemma that once we define public official, we say we prescribe certain things you can't do, and then it doesn't have to be added disclosed. That's where we're going to struggle to have. For instance, this doesn't bother me at all. I say that no file clerk 2 of the CUC can use that position to gain financial board. That doesn't bother me at all. Then you turn around and acquire income and disclose and file financial statements, keep it up every year, and whatever, and fee and the rest of the stuff. Don't think it's getting what we want.
Do you have a suggestion?
Well, I did, so I was inviting it to two groups. But that, frankly, became longer bill,
more conversation than the one we're looking at. So. Yes. The approach that they take at the present time to the Public Utilities Commission is that any employee of the agency will have a pecuniary interest shall declare and so forth. So they have to have, if they're an employee of a regulatory agency that has a pecuniary interest in a business or industry which is regulated, then they have to make a declaration. And this works out very well at PUC. For instance, if a girl, I know of one case, a girl was a secretary or a file clerk, very low position. Her husband worked a telephone company. She had to make a declaration, and then they shifted her out of the telephone department of PUC over to trucks or something like that, so you know the context mentioned. Actually, her husband was only something like a lineman, but they are pretty pleased. You know, and make a real effort to comply with the law. But that's the language, the approach they take. Because things that all employees of regulatory agency are public employees all have to clear the complicated statement of who's not interested. But even out there, if you have another section that any employee of a regulatory agency shall file a statement of any discriminatory agency they have in a regulated industry.
Picking up on that, Mr. Chairman, I think we need to be aware that it didn't occur as much. Well, we define legislative employees. We can clearly take the legislative employee then out of public officials.
Department regulation, it is by statute. That's one clause we need in here, too.
It's in ORS.
Yeah, I said in the PUC thing all about that they have to divorce themselves, sell their stock, do all that sort of thing. But there are several that you have to do that. Somewhere in here we ought to have a clause that does not abrogate any other present law that goes further than this. Which, like the...
I'm thinking of the people who work in agriculture. There's a lot of them who have regulatory powers that should be picked up in here. And many in the Department of Commerce have regulatory authority in the real estate.
But that's where number 10 has to come in. You have to start with.
Going through those regulatory agencies and putting parallel language into the statute and not trying to pick up all state employees here. You say it's working pretty well, Tom.
I've talked to Dick Sagan about it, and we think it's working very well, and they're all very serious about it.
They've got the statements, they've got the dismissals.
Yeah, but do all the other state regulated agency, regulatory agencies have similar provisions in their statutes?
No. The only one I know is that.
That's what I'm worried about, Wally.
What I'm suggesting is that when this bill, the same approach is taken with regard to...
Yeah, okay. We'll have legislative counsel and write this down, the number of the... and see if we can make it applicable here, either in 9 or a sub under 9.
Okay, now that they even describe the household, holdings of his spouse and minor children.
That's probably where this came from. I mean, I can't get at that brother across the street. Well, if I lived in New Jersey, I'd sure be concerned about that brother across the street.
New Jersey is a bad state. Could I ask the bill, anybody else? I think it's important to do this specifically the agency
that you want to specify this. Yeah. In reference to that, I have a list of all the ones
this is the list of all state agencies?
That's the ones that all...
This is the ones appointed by the
government. Gubernatorial appointments, not subject to Senate confirmation.
Well, you don't have
to
copy one of the
Yeah. Subject to gubernatorial approval, not subject to Senate confirmation, and not subject to gubernatorial approval or Senate confirmation. You've got three classifications. And there's a whale a lot of
them. Well, let's let our paid employees work on that, huh?
Yeah, well, I would think I'd like to let the paid employees
do you think we have a majority from the Senate caucus?
He's saying
that to everybody. That list
that
they've got.
I agree with
that. Yeah. Okay, now is there any problem with 10? Okay, that's the one we'll go on and take it out above then. All right. Section 5, we mentioned something about a percentage of stock or controlling interest or something like that. Section 5.
On page 4.
Jack, I think...
Unless you have an objection, I'll close this hearing at 10 o'clock.
I don't have any objection at all.
I think we're losing some of our people.
Mr. Chairman, something happened
to the second
time.
Are we doing the same thing there?
Yeah, I think we're
looking at 10.
Section
10.
So what we're trying to do here is say that...
I think that adequately provides for that.
Let's take it out.
Yeah, I think that's...
Take a look at it.
Okay, take section 5 out. Now, what about the one part unless expressly provided by the law? Well, you're all right, though. Look at section 10. I think you'll find out that... But I'm thinking about the guy that is expressly
giving
appointed
because
of his interest. You know, he has to have an interest to be on the board. How do you take care of him?
Well, that's fine. I think we're taking that admonition out. We're allowing you to serve because of A, B, and C of section 6 on page 2, which is the trade of the plumber and serving on the them are giving the free choices that affect all of them. If you're a legislator, you do one thing. If you're a judge, you take stuff off the case. And if you're an other public official, you notify your supervisor of the nature of the conflict and question other persons directly on the matter. Generate conflict. No supervisor can write information for ruling the court's conflict.
And that takes care of all
of it. I think that takes care of all of it.
Well, I asked the question that I think it does, but I've made them.
I don't think so. You've said that it isn't a conflict to serve on something that regulates the business you're involved in. And at the same time, you're saying when you do have a direct conflict, you have to report it. So this is simply that this actually negates the sub 6, paragraph A, section 2, freedom of information with definition. So it'd be better out.
Just so we don't get the governor thinking that he has to remove all the plumbers from the plumbing.
No, because we're leaving him the one that we already explained, but the fact that it's not coming today, we have an answer to membership of particular interpretation part of the law of directives for open job.
No. Okay, we got it there. Okay, that'll cover. Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
if that is not, so we don't have the plumber looking like
okay, let's get legislative counsel to see if we can take 5 out because of these three and then bring up the specific point of plumbers serving on the plumbers board, barbers on the barber board, foresters on the state board of foresters, this sort of thing.
In other words,
can we take 5 out, and if we do, is the section 10 cover it?
Oh, I see. So this would, okay.
Yeah, it's just a safeguard that can turn back. Okay.
In other words, you want to say that
put
5
in section 10 some way, only in a little better word. Yeah, like, can we eliminate 5 altogether without jeopardizing the fact that barbers can serve on the barber board?
I don't think you have, as long as you've gotten as far as it's not a conflict of interest to be a barber on the barber board. As long as that's in your definition of conflict of interest.
Actually,
what follows is that is only when that barber gets going to get a substantial and private pecuniary interest out of his action on the barber board.
I think we take care of that in two, business means any corporation, Yak Act, that treats all barbers the same, or all plumbers the same, or all foresters the same.
I just want to be sure that somebody takes hours of their time. It's not why you have someone
yeah.
to take the finger at.
Yeah. Okay, you understand what we want in that whole area.
Bob, we've got one more problem. You brought up a very good example of the forest around the forestry board. Now, he's president of a lumber company, not a forestry board, because he knows his business. Now, they make a ruling that affects only one watershed or one something small, if anything, but it's not for the whole industry. So you get my point there.
Exactly.
I know that's what Bob's telling you, but I think it's a better illustration than the farmer.
In that case, he'd have to, in that case, if the bill is written out, he would have to exempt himself from making that decision. He has to declare it, and if there was nobody, he did not have a superior. In that case, it was aimed at a particular watershed, particular problem, and his company that he's president of would, in fact, benefit greater than other members of the industry.
Anybody on timber, well, I simply have 5 separate timber companies. We have it regionalized very broadly. So, I just put the thought in mind. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, let's ask him specifically about something like that. Okay, my next mark was on page 5A. Where are you?
Well, on page 5, up above.
Oh.
Step 4.
Step 4.
I think we ought to get rid of the last part of the North Carolina Rest of Form and the duties of the government. John Cosgrove, the last amendment of Macon, does not have that language in it. And the part of the election is concerned, I don't think we can do it. I don't see the reason for it, you know.
So you want to take from Nora on and cross that out?
Right. Yes, yeah. You get a tremendous possibility of people finding the accident
and no, the yeah. Nor is he authorized to perform any duties of office. 4, 5.
Well, everybody in agreement to take
yeah.
that out? Nor is he authorized
to perform any of the duties of his office. No compensation shall be paid to any person required to file a statement of economic interest who fails to do so.
Period.
Okay, down to A. Any statement of interest? Okay.
Sub 3 is 10 days. I don't think that's wrong. The subcommittee is 30, so that ought to be
30. 30? 30. Is that agreeable?
Yeah.
I think it's a matter.
The only thing that we look for is what they need to be a good help is that we're available for complaints about the center.
Well, the reviewing committee could certainly say we'd like to do that on in the center without that problem. Yes, Tom. Go ahead, Tom.
So I understand that you're concerned with what we're talking about a little while ago, that you announced that they're all doing an internal inquiry to see shelf allocation to the county center. Would that be another reason?
Oh, yeah. We have all employees and all employees of the state area for our agency. It depends how we. I feel like we need to be employees in there, but I realize that some extra work. Of course, the employees of the state regulatory agency is on
Now, we're going to come up with a better situation on state regulatory employees. All we're worried about now is all legislative employees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can leave that in, but I realize it's coming. We could go to the common cause and turn it over to
$600. Well, that's fine. Would this cover appointments made by directors? Some directors appoint administrators?
Yeah, by our, in the back two pages of
Why not? This does not go far enough down now.
I agree.
In that part of it.
How about?
Well, you want to use it on the department division basis?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we'll do. Rather than say appointed by the governor, the department will division head.
Division goes down my base division head of health. Whereas Pam is the department head.
Let's go
head
of
the
division. Division head.
Division down and just about as low as
it's now called Corporation Division of the Commerce Department. Yeah, I was talking about human resources.
Commerce
is the
same
thing. Can we go to the division level? Let's do that.
All
departments.
Department division, departmental and division heads.
Yeah. All states, members of the state board division appointed by the government, then division heads. Period.
No, department heads and division heads both. Yeah.
Would that be
banker? Yes.
Well, I'm not sure if it's a big department.
Say the white
department.
We're talking
division. No, you're misunderstanding. Fred's got the motor vehicle division and the department heads therein.
Well,
what he's saying.
Like the head of the white department.
But I don't think we can call that. Don't we start with divisions and their major
departments, and they have division and
section.
No, wait, on the
okay. The next note I have is A under 5.
A under 5, the fiduciary relationship.
We decide to leave that out? Well, is there anything else?
Fiduciary, yeah.
Any statement of economic interest filed shall be on the file by file. The person filing a statement shall supply the identity by name of all offices, directorships,
and
directorships held by him or a member of his household.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Under sub 5 in section 7, we have some kind of a limit there, like
the deadline, how long is it going to file? Well, there is a deadline in the bill, isn't there?
15 days after the filing deadline, statewide primary.
Well, we'll say in accordance with that.
All Okay, now, restruct judiciary relationships in that A, under A. The identity by name of all officers and directorships held by him or a member of his household. We're getting a better definition going back into paragraph 3, as I recall.
Maybe.
We're hoping.
But then here, when we read the PUD definition, it says spouse, minor children, and the company, and the definition of the
family, and the family. Do we have to put down all our... Anybody has to put down any house that he's got a... He's living in? Is that what that says? And B?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, what we anticipate on this would be number one, photocopy of your deed or deed appended to the form.
Just hope the two down hold representatives in Congress.
Yes.
First national.
I want it.
Director
in there. I got a 10th interest in a 5,000 acre ranch.
You gotta say what's wrong.
Yes, but if you give the legal description, well,
what's wrong?
If you benefit by it, if you can prove it. I just think
you'll
have a
building
sort of stuff.
Wasn't that probably put in there when you were gonna do counties and cities?
Considering your whole background, I know the situation changes. Mm-hmm. How often during 1 year would your situation change so that drastically enough that
well, I have one of my holdings stopped mostly, but
and that changes
every day, every hour. But I get a report and brought up to date that is appraisal showing the number of shares in stock, the end of the month price, and the total amount of money. I get that monthly.
Sure, I think frankly, oddly enough, people who mind their financial affairs very carefully understand that actually in a better position to comply with the law. Those of us that have to go out and do the research and actually comply with it.
I wasn't.
I don't think it's required you to do it every day.
I wasn't thinking of this paragraph as much in relation to Sam as to Harvey Akerson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my point is that, and this is something we discussed in our conversation, so I'm going to say Sam did come forward. And I mentioned, I think, that at one of our meetings that he did publish his biography and so on. My point is, when you're proposing what he does, that you're going to change, they're going to change constantly. And I think he's indicated that. I'm not sure the way this is written is ever going to have a picture, really, of the situation. And this is what I'm wondering if we're considering. Like he says, I can see, and we're certainly not wealthy, but I can see the way that I'm just going to turn it over to my accountant and go to work on it. And,
for instance, you have an apartment out here, too. And why couldn't you just say an apartment house with two blocks or whatever it is, I'm climbing.
There was no such thing. Forgive me a friend. And your financial statement shows the cost. And anybody get a market guide who wants to do it?
Mr. Chairman,
my guess was rather than trying to figure out what's frequently called an address, the group 2 box, or the oldest farm, it's a little difficult to describe. It may be important, but I have no objection. I'd like to leave a description when you couple it with a photocopy of an existing deed with a good solution. Apparently it is, so I have no objection to broaden that to include, I don't remember.
Just a description without legal.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you want to use a photocopy of the deed, which is what I would do, because I'm not in that business, and it would be a lot easier for me to
the only question I wonder, do you want to leave it in?
Well, I agree with you, Chairman. You asked a very important question. That was when this was originally became extremely important in the real area of the county.
The local level.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm planning to build on that. That's where it's extremely important. So that's covering those. I don't know.
Do you have a feeling on it?
As far as the public information is concerned, I think there's still some value for the legislators.
I would think people in the highway department, some of those would be very interesting to see. Okay. What was on there? Next week, I think we'll go back to our subcommittees because we've got to get that lobbying bill out. And we have to get this bill out, and I just feel that we're going to get more done.
Do you want to go ahead and finish this up?
No, we're going to quit it.
No,
yeah.
I know that. But
yeah, I want
you to
go ahead
and
finish
it up.
We really need, I think, one that I'm most troubled by is the one that Ed brought up. That's the one that's coming up to the legislature. I think it's critical to start. I mean, if every Thursday is intended for a lawyer, to live on sales, the seats, or lawyers, or doctors, or patients.
I think that goes down. Can we put a figure in there? Would that help that?
I don't think so. I think the answer really, I think, is to have the fellow court that you start with income from his partnerships, Jones and Smith Associated Oil Leases.
I write that sentence, income by source or category, whether or not taxable, is first received by him or a member of his household in the preceding year.
Well, could you do this to get away from this question? You still have clients and customers.
So what you would do would be to say, the source by name of any income from any business with which you associate, whether or not taxable.
No,
that you don't mean by name, you mean by category or something like that.
Category, maybe.
Source by category.
But if you say by which he's associated, then you wouldn't find out what we're trying to find out of any malfeasance. I realize that. Thank you.
We sure have not.
Well, I don't want to
crack that.
It doesn't have to be changed.
Yeah.
Amount other than the name of the individual. Another way, the way it was done originally by common cause, they talked about income of over a certain amount, more than 5%
of the income. Well, you still have the problem,
Well, you don't mean the income in dollars and cents.
No, he's just talking about cents.
The source of any income by category, whether or not taxable, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, the thing I wanted to ask you just about is income, personal income tax return.
Yes.
Yes,
it would be, because I don't want every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Blanche, and Bill going through my income taxes.
Okay. Of course, you're going to file with Blanche. Blanche's got a big job. Categories or the sources of income, whatever they'll say. General categories or sources of income.
That's what we're trying to get at anyway, isn't it?
General category and so on.
Get rid of the word in. Let's say general tax category, four sources of income, whether or not that.
Yeah. That's good. Well, as long as they're there, let's finish up D.
Now, Mr. Chairman, this is not a specific amount.
It is a specific amount.
Well, it's an excess.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
But George's problem with that is his mother won't tell him to whom she owes money or who owes her.
Well, he's a member of his immediate household.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
My concern about this section in the company, this is what I said, I take a farmer who might owe $80,000 to the company, but I don't know about the relative right now, as long as you don't have to file $80,000, if you take a farmer that, you know, he might have all the work, these debts in terms of equipment, and really, if those knowing about agriculture, it's no problem. That's not the case here. He might have a big loan for your bank, but as long as you don't have to. In the case, if you owe $80,000, so I don't see the problem.
All he has to say is Western Machinery at 8%. Let's go with that.
What if you would this be helpful to an attorney who wanted to prove that the guy owed the debt and that he might later want to renege on?
My concern is by having a figure in there, the secretary stated to interpret that you should put the amount, and I think the minutes should clearly indicate that that's not a matter.
Well, we don't. The name of each creditor to whom he or a member of his household, and there's that word again, owes or has owed during the preceding year in excess of $2,000 in the interest rate. Why would he interpret that as you're having to say $8,254.89?
He just wanted to show you that.
clearly indicates that we do not intend the amount of need to show.
How do you want to amend it, Joey? You think
it's... I just want to amend it to show.
Okay.
That we don't intend...
Yeah. I think that's fine, so that it is on the tape that we didn't intend to make. Add a budget note. Yeah, add a budget. Okay, I think we'll adjourn the meeting. We'll meet the subcommittees next week. The Senate will take this up again. We'll go to lobby.
We'll meet at lunchtime. We'll set the date, but I think we could take a couple of lunch meetings.
We are going to have some attorneys on the project. Yeah,
I agree. Let's see if we can't get these two bills out. Yes.
Glad
to have you, Sam.
Yeah.
I don't object to that.
You need a change in your... What's your saying?
Anytime you want.